with clear interest, and spoke of him often, from what he had heard of those other male warriors higher up than he among the family ranks. It was his cruelty that so impressed, he knew. He was an instrument for them, and in a role he cherished. The whip he now brandished was not snake-headed, of course, for those were reserved for the high priestesses of Loth, but it was a vicious scourge nonetheless, with several barbed hooks along its twin lashes. Melkatka liked the feel of the weapon and loved the opportunity now presented to him to put it to prolonged use. This art was a balancing act, he understood, and a delicious one at that. The whip rolled up over his shoulder and snapped out, and the tough little dwarf yelped despite herself.
Faster!
Melkatka shouted at her, and he cracked the whip again, this time drawing a line of blood behind the dwarf's right ear, and indeed nearly removing the ear in the process. She started to shriek, but bit it back and fell to the side to one knee, growling against the bite. A balancing act, Melkatka reminded himself. He couldn't disable these pitiful captives. They were needed for the mines. Indeed, they had only been kept alive for this very purpose. The drow guard snapped the whip three times in rapid succession, cracking the air above the dwarf's head.
To work!
He ordered. The dwarf looked back at him hatefully, and he relished the baleful stare. She tried to talk, to curse him, no doubt, but all that came out of her mouth was garbled nonsense and putrid greenish-white foam. She was a spellcaster, this one, a cleric, and the dark elves knew how to deal with such creatures. For she had been cursed by the high priestesses, by Berylip Zorlauren herself, and any time the dwarf tried to formulate a word, her mouth was filled with the putrid, vomit-inducing poison. She doubled over, spitting furiously to clear the choking, wretched foam. Then she staggered and fell to the ground, and Melkatka put his whip to use once more, coaxing her back to her feet and back to the pick and stone. The drow torturer was quite pleased with himself when he heard the ring of that pick against the rock wall once more, the tap-tapping mixing in with a cacophony of other mining implements ringing in these tunnels far below the forge of Gontalgrim. Several new slaves had been brought in from the coastal city the Zorlarans had raided to join in with the goblin laborers. The drow craftsmen needed metal, lots of metal, for the hungry forges, and mithril could be found here, along with several other minerals, even adamantine. Work continued furiously along the lower chambers of Gontalgrim as the drow craftsmen fashioned doors and stairways and barricades. Not with the finest metals, though, for those were reserved for armor and weapons. They were building a drow city here, and one settled around a primordial forge, one capable of fashioning the most wondrous weapons and armor. Melkatka fantasized about being awarded a new sword and mail shirt, and the hope drove his arm back and forward yet again, cracking his whip one more time at the poor little dwarf, who just grunted and dug her pick hard into the stone wall.
Are they so sturdy that they do not even feel the blows? Or so stupid that they do not understand that they are supposed to cry out?
Another of the drow guards asked, coming over to join the expert torturer.
A bit of both, perhaps, but no matter, Melkatka replied. Tough hide will strip away with enough beating, and cry out or not, doubt not that she feels the bite of the whip.
The two shared a laugh at the dwarf's expense. But their titters died away quickly, as they both noted a curious creature fluttering toward them. A large bat. Curious, because they had not noticed any bats in this part of the complex before. And they were too deep for such creatures as the one approaching, for this one seemed the normal type of cave bat, if quite large, and not one of the types commonly found in the deeper Underdark. It came toward them in a haphazard flutter, bouncing back and forth across the wide tunnel. Melkatka raised his whip while his companion drew out his twin swords. The bat pulled up short, still a dozen strides away, then rolled over weirdly in midair and strangely elongated as it came out of its somersault, growing legs, it seemed, that reached for the ground. Then it was no bat, but a dwarf, dirty and stout, wrapped in ridged armor, and with the most absurd helmet spike protruding from the top of his metal helm, almost half again his height. He landed with his feet wide apart, hands on his hips.
"Another slave," Melkatka's companion said, then repeated the words in the common language of the surface, which most dwarves would surely understand.
"Nah," the dwarf replied and began a steady approach. "I think yourself might be making for a good slave," he quipped, throwing the drow's words back at him. "But I seen what you did to the girl there, and so now I'm thinking not."
Melkatka raised his whip, while cleverly pulling out his hand crossbow with his free hand and firing off his dart just as his companion dropped a globe of darkness upon the newcomer. Lightning quick, the drow torturer dropped his hand crossbow to the length of its tether and drew out his own sword. His companion moved to the side, both dark elves intent upon the area of magical darkness. Many heartbeats passed.
"He is down," Melkatka's companion said. "Well shot, brother."
The two glanced at each other, then watched together the hand crossbow bolt that came spinning between them from behind. Melkatka started to swing around when the heavy gauntlet of a dwarf, who had somehow slipped out of the darkness and arrived behind them, backhanded him across the side of his ribs and sent him flying. He accepted the blow and turned and leaped with it, touching down lightly and quick-stepping to hold his balance, thinking to rush right back in at the surprising enemy. Indeed, he even managed to step that way. But he was too focused on the newcomer, unaware that he had landed near the female slave. He did realize his error, but only for the instant until the blinding white flash of a miner's pick driving through his skull dissipated into the absolute darkness of a sudden and brutal death. Amber Gristle O'Mall shook the embedded pick all around, not to extract it, but simply to feel its end mashing around inside her torturer's skull. She watched across the way as she did, to see the remaining drow battling furiously with the strange dwarf battle rager, for of course she recognized this furious fighter as a battle rager who had come onto the scene. Drow's swords worked brilliantly, of course they did, cutting in side to side against lifted, blocking arms. And fine indeed was that ridged armor, Amber realized, for the dwarf's arms remained intact against solid hits from those magnificent drow blades. The dwarf kept advancing steadily and unbothered. Around went the drow swords, one coming in again from outside in, the other retracting and stabbing straight ahead. And the dwarf became as insubstantial as fog, the stabbing sword hitting nothing tangible. With a yelp of surprise, the